Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Every so often, Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, enjoys a special connection with the land of his birth, which is one very long flight from Los Angeles. Lincoln, I understand that you were down under in spirit recently and are willing to share that experience with us today. The time is yours.
Well, yes, down under in spirit, where I was in body, was at the Australian Embassy on Massachusetts Avenue in Washington, D.C. Yes. It was in the embassy area. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm an Australian. I can't deny that.
We could never tell, Lincoln, just listening to you.
No,
How can we possibly know that?
There's a story in the Bible of a bit of a fight that broke out between the different tribes. And one tribe had a distinctive way of talking, but they were trying to pass themselves off in a military sense. So as they were checking at the front line, they would ask these guys a certain question, and they had to pronounce the word correctly. And if their accent showed up, they killed them on the spot.
On the spot.
And sometimes I think that an Australian accent polarizes things from day one, but never mind. Hopefully people understand me, and they do embassy.
Yes. I'm sure they do.
I'd been there many times before when I was in college, and I came to the U.S. when I was a teenager. And in college, I assigned myself a class of Australian literature. So I used to go down to the embassy regularly and spend time in the library there studying their resources. I was always impressed with that embassy, and it was a bit of a start when I went the other day. I see that they had scaffolding on the outside. Mm-hmm. They were refurbishing the outside. Inside, there were workmen banging away, tearing walls down and refurbishing it. And it was quite troubling to me. And I told as much to the receptionist and the ambassador's secretary, and they said, well, you know, it was built in 1969, you know. And I realized that it was like 2 years old when I visited
yes.
there. And in some ways, that's the story of Australia. Mm. It's not an old country.
No.
Australia was settled as a direct result of the American Revolution, which ostensibly began in 1776, although the U.S. was formed a decade or two later. The Constitution took a while to win the war,
yes,
and then
yes.
took a while to convince the 13 colonies to adopt a common document. But immediately, with the outset of the Revolution, they stopped sending the convict ships to the U.S. Americans hardly know that, but it was a fact. And it caused a crisis in England. They had many of these ships full of mostly criminals, but many of them just class war victims and political dissidents and so on. They kept them anchored off the shore of England and created a crisis. So someone had a brainwave. I think it was Joseph Banks, who had been with Captain Cook on his fairly recent adventures down on the coast of Australia, and he said, let's send them down there, establish a colony.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1788, as you can tell, not much later. In fact, one of the reasons they waited was to see if the War of Independence would be won.
Mm.
You realize if England had won, they'd have started sending them again.
Yes.
So they sent several ships down loaded with a few hundred convicts, and that began the settlement of Australia. At this day, most Australians can't trace their personal origin to those convicts, but for many years, that was the predominant culture of Australia. It was prisoners working out their time and then eventually getting some land and becoming free settlers and having the labor of other prisoners. So it was not that far removed from slavery, really.
And, really?
The mistreatment of them was legendary. On some of the convict fleets sent out, a third of them died on the voyage because they were chained together the whole time with leg irons, and exactly the same as the slave ships.
Yes.
The difference on this and slavery was there was a racial prejudice where the slaves were seen as sort of subhumans, mm-hmm. and the slaves were not for any particular term. They were for life.
Yeah.
But during the time that these convicts were under servitude, the mistreatment was just as bad, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
They were killed without any thought from the authorities, and the punishments meted out to them were legendary. Horrible stuff. Well, religion didn't get off to a good start in Australia. And in fact, one of the more legendary figures was the Reverend Marsden. But he was known as the whipping reverend. He was good on corporal punishment. And that was the Church of England. And yet, strangely, the Church of England remained the major religious force in Australia until well up after World War I. But today, there's no question that Australia is not only a multicultural, but a multi-religious society, and the government makes every effort to accommodate and allow all religious expression. Now, in the society, religion is sort of... You can be told off if you bring up religion with most Australians. They'll tell you off, you know. Quite rudely, I'm not going to repeat it, but they'll tell you, you know, keep your mouth shut, mate, I don't want to know that.
Yes.
But as a society and through the government, they're amazingly enabling of religious expression. And the ambassador, Ambassador Beasley, he's the current ambassador, but a very towering political figure in Australia. In fact, he came very close to being prime minister at one point. And he told me there that the government, ironically, even though they have a constitution modeled after the US Constitution, doesn't see the need for a sharper distinction on a separation of church and state. And the government allows school prayer. It allows instruction in the schools where the different ministers come in and teach religion to the students of their particular religion. But it's done on public school time. And the government funds very generously all religious schools, as high as about 90-95% funding in some cases.
Wow. Without restrictions? I mean, did they? Well, of course, they don't have restrictions. They don't have any standard to restrict by.
They don't seem to restrict them as of now, but that's our fear in Liberty magazine, that whenever you take public money, they may require you to act a certain way, but not yet in Australia.
Yeah.
And I remember when he visited with our group here at our church headquarters, he said, this is the irony of two countries that have a similar constitution, but the United States, under the rubric of a separation, tends to try to restrict some public expression, where Australia encourages it, even though it cares less for religion
really?
As a society.
Really?
And in this regard, it's not good to argue which is better. It's enough to say that in both countries, religion is fully protected, and there is, open access for churches to do whatever they want.
When a church in Australia then wants to do what it wants, evangelism, there's no problem there either. Then the government does not stay in and say, you cannot have your parade on our park. You cannot have your religious meetings in our government building. There's no problem there either.
No.
Wow.
No, I mean, there's the same thing as in any westernized country. You have to have permits and so on.
Yeah,
but no, it's never really a contentious thing because Australia still has a respect for religion. I asked the ambassador about Islam, which is not the most recent religion to go to Australia, because he told me something interesting, that it's part of the history of Australia. The convicts were English Protestants,
right.
Church of England.
Right.
And many of them were Catholics, Irish. There were a lot of Irish sent as dissidents and so on, and because there were Irish rebellions, they were sent. So from the beginning, Catholic and Protestant. And then almost from the beginning, there were Muslims, because they brought a lot of Afghan camel herders out to Australia, and they were Islamic.
Yeah.
And the camels went wild, and in Australia, they have wild camels in the desert, as many as Saudi Arabia. But as a result, some Muslim communities dating back from that day. Then another religion that came very early on in the gold rush, which was parallel to the gold rush from Sutter's Mill in the U.S., many Chinese, and of course Taoist and Confucianism. Taoism and Confucianism came. So there's been religious pluralism even at an early age when the cultural pluralism was not too great. But after World War II, people came from all over the European world, at least, and brought diverse religious views to Australia. And after the Vietnam War, many Asians came, not just the Vietnamese. So today you go to the cities in Australia, and they're very multicultural and reflecting all those religious viewpoints.
Well, not to sound like Dr. Phil, but how's that working for him? Is it working? Is it actually a good thing down there?
It seems to be. And as he pointed out with some confidence as the ambassador, but I think he's fairly right. In some ways, Australia is the melting pot that the U.S. has sometimes imagined itself to be.
Yes,
but Australia does not have what is in my backyard in Hagerstown, Maryland. I'm next door to the Amish areas and the Pennsylvania Dutch and so on, Deutsch, really German. There's actually religious communities or blocks of settlement that have a predominantly religious nature because they came from the old world. That hasn't, for some reason, happened in Australia. People sort of blended in and they've kept their religion. But I remember being amused in Australia at the Italians, one generation removed from Italy, fixated on stone homes and grand edifices, but speaking with a broad Australian accent and thoroughly integrated, otherwise inseparable from the general populace. So maybe the convict, other world aspect of Australia, you know, it's the far side of the moon type thinking.
Really.
You can't maintain these distinctions too easily there.
I'm trying to, in my mind, figure out how to apply what Australia does to this country. What's the main barrier between doing it Australia's way and the United States?
Well, I don't think it can be copied. And Australia, even in its at its founding, was rather unique. England had settled many colonies. Obviously, the United States, or the 13 colonies right. that became the United States, yeah. were a colonization experiment. And England and Spain and others and Holland, they all did it. But Australia was not a colonization experiment. It was a penal experiment. They were sent to a place that nobody wanted to be.
Yeah.
It didn't have an ulterior motive or a purpose. It turned out very well. Australia's a, you know, well, you don't know, but I can assure you yeah. it's a nice place to live.
Okay. I'll take your word for it, yes.
But it was not meant to be nice. It was a dumping ground as far away as they could get from England. And in a way, I think that worked to the advantage because it didn't bring the old world rivalries of religion. It didn't bring a lot of the assumptions. It swept it all clean.
Well, I have never heard this before, and I've talked to you for many years. This is Australia is like the poster child for religious freedom and acceptance. That's pretty amazing.
Well, and like the U.S. since 9/11, they've had a little attention. In fact, Osama bin Laden, in one of his messages, warned Australia particularly. But I thought it was very good. I tried to draw the ambassador out, and he said something interesting. He says the 9/11 and the rapid influx of Muslims since then, he said, has made it now that Australia, the government, makes every effort to reassure them that this is a friendly homeland for them. But they don't see it as a problem. He and I spoke a bit, and he couldn't think of an example of where there's been conflict with Islam. As I say, people don't talk about religion in Australia.
Wow, Australia living the American dream, a dream that not even America is living. Well, Lincoln, thank you so much for the insights into your homeland. This is fantastic. I enjoy this. Thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.